Hey everyone, today our guest is Kelly Garrett from Rehab Wallet. Kelly has a fantastic story and it ran a little bit longer than our normal episodes. So today will be part one of Kelly's story with part two coming tomorrow. Hope everyone enjoys.
The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, thank you for joining us again. I'm so excited to have y'all back, and I'm excited to have on Kelly Garrett from Garrett Venture Groups here with us today. Kelly, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. I know you're incredibly busy. You got a lot going on, so it's truly a pleasure and an honor to have you on here. I know we got a lot of stuff we want to get into today. You got some good stories and background to give us and our audience here, but before we jump into that, would you mind giving us a little bit of background, where you're from, how you got into real estate, and kind of what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days?
Yeah, sure. I'm originally from Easley, South Carolina. Got recruited to play basketball at the College of Charleston here in Charleston, South Carolina. So I was just a country girl that got out of the woods and ended up fortunately having a talent enough to get me to college. And so I came here to Charleston and so glad that I did. So after college, I spent 12 years in corporate America at UPS. So after moving 11 times in 12 years, it just was time for me to get settled in personally. I just could not get my foot in personally. And great job, great opportunities. It was a great place for me to feed into being an athlete and raised on a little small farm that UPS kind of just sharpened my tools, because the companies run so effective. So then I opened my first, when I left in 2000, after 12 years, I opened my first business, and it was a conventional mortgage business. So long story how I got there, but we had three locations, Columbia, Greenville, and Charleston. And we ran that till about 2009 and ended up selling it to a big outfit out of Columbia. And within that mortgage business, that conventional mortgage business, I kind of learned how to fund my own real estate. And my real estate career kind of grew organically through my mortgage business. And so over the last 21 years, we have done everything within real estate, from flipping to the probably the thing I haven't done a lot of is wholesaling, because I was a flipper for probably 18 and a half of those 21 years. And bought a bunch of cash flow units and of my own, and personally was self-managing them and so forth. And bought businesses along the way. I've been my eighth business so far. So we would buy a business and or open a business and then sell a business off. And I like the team atmosphere. It probably comes back from my basketball days. And so I enjoy having a team. This solo entrepreneurial thing that everybody talks about is gets very lonely, and I like the high fives and the chest bumps and being happy and just creating a team around me. So nowadays in 2021, now I am doing a little bit differently with my real estate. We sold a lot of it off after a long time, 18 or 19 years of it, and now we take that money and invest in 11 different apartment syndications. It's about 2,300 doors in Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina, Louisiana. And we choose syndicators like yourselves and other people that we know and trust. We get to know them very well before we go and place our money. And it's been a good place for us to get passive income that way. We've done it all the other way. We have some still of our own that we manage, but very little. A lot of ours now is in apartment syndications. And so we have a coaching business that coaches flippers. We know how to do that. We like to work with those guys that really want to level up And recently, the last business that we are in presently is a hard money lending business. Obviously, the mortgage business back in 2000 gave me the footprint and the ability to open this hard money lending business up. With some apartment syndication guys at passiveinvesting.com. So we opened up Rehab Wallet in July of last year of 2020. And we raised money within a 506c fund and pay our investors. It's a short-term fund where you can place your money. And if you need your money out in 90 days, we can get your money back out. So it's a short-term fund for anybody. It's kind of like a money market. It's kind of the way we want to compare it to. We pay our investor 6%. And then I'm in charge of my team and we lend it out. So that's at rehabwallet.com. And that kind of takes me up to where I'm at today. It's been a fun journey. 21 years, you have your peaks and your valleys. And compared to basketball, you'll shoot air balls sometimes, and then sometimes you're in a zone. So that's all I can compare it to.
There you go. Listen, first and foremost, I love having a fellow South Carolinian on here. Love it. I grew up in the Midlands in South Carolina, so not too far away from where you grew up. Right. And I can definitely relate to working in corporate America and really getting your eyes open with what's out there in the world. And I love all the sports analogies and how it's not always going to be successful. You are going to have your ups and downs. And that's what we're here really to focus on today, is really educate our audience on, as successful as you are, and we see others in the community and where they're at today in their career, it hasn't always been successful. So is there any particular instance that maybe comes to mind where it was a really big struggle or a challenge that you had to get through to help get you to where you are today?
Yeah, Lord, of course. You know, the early years are just brutal. You know, it's kind of what I talk to my coaching students about, is that, you know, all the books can, in podcasts and bigger pockets, can sound this certain way, but it's your journey and it's how you actually want to take it. So our early years were just brutal because I had not yet found a coach myself. I had not, I didn't think I could afford a coach. I didn't think I could, had time for a coach. I didn't even probably know back then. I didn't even know a entrepreneurial coach that would help me along the way. Honestly, I was still the type of person that was running the businesses and just on the knowledge that I had as just a small town minded woman. That's it. And so I had to learn real quick, but at the same time, about 2006, one that kind of jumps out at me, and this is a great podcast, by the way, because I love to, I love people being genuine and being very vulnerable about their journey, because it's not always glitz and glamour. And today it's not even glitz and glamour. It's the journey that you want to be on. We Facebook doesn't help. Instagram doesn't help, making it seem like, you know, she went there and he went there and blah, blah, blah. But the winners grind every day. And I want to grind every day. I'm reading a book right now. I think we're talking off air about it, is Tim Grover's book called Winning. He was MJ's and Kobe's coach and trainer. And I just suggest anybody to read that. Makes you really remember you're not crazy. And that winning's brutal. If you want to win, you can sit back and be average if you want, and that's okay too. Actually, that's a blessing if you're okay where you're at, because winners just kind of never get satisfied. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is a thing, and we have to be aware of that. But yeah, in 2006, obviously we all know what happened. Let me back up. We all know what happened in 2008, and I'm going to say 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 for me. I was in the mortgage business at the time, so it was more of a mortgage crash than anything. So, but in 2006, we had outgrown in a conventional mortgage broker business. We had outgrown a 1,500 square foot building that we were renting and or space, and we had found some land right down the road. And in 2006, we built a building, And the building unit had, what, 5 units in it. My mortgage company had 5,000 square feet at this point. In unit A, we had opened an appraisal company. Back then, you could own both. It's weird to even think that a mortgage company could own an appraisal company now, but that's probably what caused the crash. But
one of the many things.
But we had a mortgage, appraisal company in unit B. We had already sold it, but those guys were still in there renting back from us. And then the end unit was a restaurant. And so everything seemed to be going just fine for a few years. So we go to 2006 and 2008 comes around. Mortgage business was suffering. Appraisal company was suffering. The restaurant business went out of business. The restaurant went out of business in unit E. When we built the building, it had appraised for to do a construction loan. The building, it was a 12,000 square foot building. The building and the land, of course, around it was appraised at 2.1. And now it's year five for my loan. And they're ready to do a extension or what, and reappraised it. And because we're in the middle of the crash, now it appraised at $668,000. So it went from 2.1 appraisal to $668,000. And, everybody thinks Charleston's insulated. Everybody thinks your city's insulated. It's not. I giggle when people say that now. I just kind of think, yeah, I wish it was back then, but it wasn't. Appraisals were just getting chopped in half, obviously well below half. And my balance on my loan was 1.4. And nobody would touch it. It was a balloon. It was a 5-year balloon. Mm. The loan that I had at the time was with a bank in my hometown. And you heard me say I was from Easley, small town, knew the bank president, graduated with his son. My family knows his family. My dad's last name is big in that city. It was killing me. And so I had to make a decision. I called him directly and asked him what to do. I was like, I've never missed a payment, even though we were not cash flowing pretty much the whole last 2 years. And we were making up the difference in the cash flow every single month for 2 years straight, never missed a payment. He said, I remember where I was, and I had never not made a payment on anything, had never given up on anything. And he told me, we're getting taken over, Kelly, by the FDIC. We're one of these banks that are gonna fail. And I'm gonna give you some fatherly advice. Give up. Quit paying your payment, give up. And I was like, what? Well, I have no idea what to do. I had no bank, and I had experience. I'm in the mortgage business. I have relationships with bankers all in Charleston. Went to probably 20 different banks to say, but no one would touch this loan, not one person. And it was probably one of my hardest decisions, and I gave up. Got to listen to him. My two partners in the business or in the deal had already given up. And I was still making that payment in the cash flow, upside down cash flow. So I personally was still making that payment for about a year. And partners were riffing. We weren't agreeing. So went through a foreclosure with that. The partners ended up suing. They ended up suing me. We weren't on the same page. Actually, couldn't have found out. They were probably smarter than I was. By giving up earlier, I just didn't have that in me at the time. And what else? Last but not least, the rock of my family, my dad had gotten cancer and he died that year. So it was an awful, when I tell you awful, it was an awful year for me. And so, you don't know how you will act and deal with adversity, because things go against everything that you could possibly think of during that time. And it's just a decision you have to make to either get back up and move on. I tease about it now because looking back is so 2020. It's like either, you know, on how to handle things. But it was like I would open my laptop would open up, and it was like a fist with a boxing glove would come out of my laptop and punch me in the throat every morning for like 2 years. And it was just brutal for me. Some people might think that was easy to deal with, but I had never dealt with quitting on anything. I had never dealt with partners not agreeing. And last but not least, I had never dealt with death. And so I think you and I share, when you shared your story the other day when I first met you about your dad going through his cancer. Obviously, it's a big deal to you. And so you really don't know how you're going to handle it until you're in it. And I kind of just, I don't know, I couldn't have done anything with this. I tried to get the building, I guess, re-amortized or just continued on, and not a bank in town, nor this bank. And again, when I'm talking to the bank president, and literally I could tell you where I was when he told me to do that. And in that little bank in Easley, it did. It got took over and got resold from a larger bank. So he was in his own problems. And I did that. That's probably, if I had to say, not only was the banks not relending to me, but when unit C and D of the building was never got rented, it did not ever get rented in 5 years because no one was lending to the dry cleaners that came in to me and said, "Hey, I want to rent unit C." Well, I'm like, "Well, you got to have upfit money to upfit. I'll pay half to upfit. Maybe you got," but nobody was lending on anything to get this economy back going. Everybody constricted and restricted and just said no to everything. And so there you go. There's my unsuccessful story. I still get to look at that building when I go down Clements Ferry Road. It's not a good feeling. But it's my journey, and it's what we went through, and how we come back from something like that is the decision. You either crawl underneath a rock and give up and say, "Hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. I got punched every day for 5 years, or excuse me, 2 years, pretty much straight." Or you just get back up and brush it off and keep shooting. That's all I could think about.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. That was part one with Kelly Garrett, and we'll have part two coming up tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.